This is Will's Band of the Week for June 21st, 2017. Welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Barrett, live in studio.
Hey, Will. Hey, listeners.
Hey, you know what we, if we want to act like a professional show, you know what we do?
What?
At the beginning, this is what you say. We got some housekeeping to take care of for you. Right?
Yeah,
we do.
We're
going to take care of some housekeeping?
Mm-hmm.
So first of all, we're late this week, but I'm sure that as long as we provide our $0 worth...
We'll be forgiven for that.
They won't mind, right?
And we were out on assignment. You had a sports assignment.
Yeah, we had all kinds of
assignments.
But I guess the best way to give $0 worth is to not have a podcast, right? That's clearly $0.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so it's kind of crazy in the next couple of weeks. So I think there's going to be probably at least a week without a podcast, maybe even a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Because my wife and I are embarking on a trip. It's just going to be a humble Washington, D.C., New York City trip.
That's a good trip.
Yeah. And as things stand, I have no plans to see any rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
Just where we're going to be. Like the D.C. calendar, for some reason, the three nights we're there, there's like not anything playing. Like, or if there is, it's not up to my standards.
Right.
And I have pretty high standards. So there could be like... a late-breaking, spontaneous rock and roll thing. We'll have to see what happens.
Right.
There should be some rock and roll
thing. You would think so.
Or at least something rock and roll should happen. Like, we'll run into some famous rock and roller on the street, maybe.
That could be.
Maybe I'll run into Bob Boylan. If I'm in D.C., I probably will.
Yeah, maybe.
You'd think you probably would, right? Or, like, who's more likely?
There are literally hundreds of people there.
That's true. What's more likely?
So it might be hard to find somebody in a city as big as... going to be like pushing 1,000 people.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, what do you think? What's more likely if I run into, Bob Boylan or Jeff Sessions?
Wow. Yeah, I don't know.
Or if I'm just walking along that.
What if they're talking to each other?
They could be. What's that? Is it called the National Mall? Like this big, like walkway you can walk down, right? I've been to D.C. Once or twice ever in my life, and the last time was like 30 years ago. So I'm thinking it's even more like 35 years ago.
Uh-huh.
When I was a young person. That's how long ago it was that I was young, about 35 years.
Was that your high school graduation trip or something?
No. It was, might have been after college or, see, I'm making up numbers here, so they're probably wrong, but it was one of those times where I had time in between, I think maybe it was college and starting a job or whatever, something like that.
Right.
And I just embarked on a road trip, and I had a friend who lived in D.C., so I stopped there. It was fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, let's see. So, the housekeeping is we'll probably have some podcasts at some point, but the schedule is going to be erratic for a little while.
Right.
Maybe we'll just pop up into a random, like, super short one or something. Who knows? Well, what I mentioned on Twitter was you got to think of this like those experiments with variable reinforcement involving mice,
mm-hmm.
right? You know how that is? Like if they're going after the food, and if they will learn a pattern, right? So if they tap on the thing and it's exactly once every three taps they get the food, right? They just learn the pattern.
Mm-hmm.
But if they make it variable so that it's random, then the mouse just starts going nuts, like tapping the thing all the time trying to get more food.
Right.
So people are going to be like, the problem is going to be that if we're unpredictable, people will be checking their feeds and their computers
right.
like all the time, like every 10 minutes. It'll be like
pushing,
is there a new Will's
pushing
Band of the
refresh?
Week? Right. Just constantly.
On their phones.
So I hope we don't.
Well,
just
you
drive
warned them off
crazy.
Of that now. So.
Yeah. So, guys, just be cool. Everybody just take it easy.
Right.
And it's going to be okay.
What are some things that somebody might do during the hour that they would have been listening to the podcast? You know, you could go pull weeds.
Yeah, do something productive.
You
do your laundry. Finish your laundry.
Some laundry. You could
feed the dog, maybe.
Those are not fun things. What are we saying about our podcast here? We want to replace it with something that's...
Oh, that's fun.
Fun.
Yeah, good point. How about going for a long run, which most people in the world other than you and me would never do.
They wouldn't think it's fun.
No. They could
watch a Brewer game.
Yeah. So, well, you just transitioned for me. So, yeah, I got to do a live report for the Milwaukee Brewers.
Yeah.
So this was kind of cool, and this is one of the things that is kind of fun about sporting events, you know? You have an old friend who you see once every, on average, probably, I've probably seen this guy once every 5 years since, like, 1980.
Okay.
Right? So it's an old college friend, and it was great because he lives in Chicago, so we both drove up to, or I drove over to the east to Milwaukee, and he drove north from Chicago, and we met at the place you always recommend, Kelly's Bleachers.
Right.
And it was great. And then we went to the Brewer game, and we were kind of, you know, we were kind of engaged in conversation and stuff, and we weren't watching that closely, but it was a great game because we walked in a few minutes late, and they were already behind 4-0, and I was this is going to be terrible, right? And the Brewers kind of edged their way back and ended up winning it on a home run in the bottom of the 10th.
Right.
And they all went crazy.
Games, right?
Yeah, and they all went nuts. And, yeah. And I think there were 4 home runs by the Brewers in the game, too. So it was kind of... Yeah. They were not manufacturing runs.
No.
They were...
getting it via the...
What do you call it? Long ball. Yeah. Isn't there a term for the opposite of manufacturing runs?
Manufacturing. Well, how
they
would
just,
it be then?
They were just... They were,
there was like... they were organically producing the runs without manufacturing them.
Maybe that's it. Yeah. Yeah.
And they get right over the fence.
Anyway, it was great. It was fun.
Yeah.
So...
They won more than we were anticipating they'd win.
Yeah, my goal was to get to a game while they were still over 500, and I did it.
I think they're like 38-33.
Something like
that. So they're 5 games over 500.
That's pretty impressive for them.
2.5 games in front of the Cubs.
It's still not going to last.
No, but, it can't last, but...
It's fun, though.
It's fun, and they're way better than expected, and
got
some exciting players, so...
Maybe we should we spend another like 45 minutes talking about all the prospects and the young guys? And
let's do it.
Or we could just kind of just generally say that it's basically going to come down to execution, right?
Well, that is true.
Yeah.
You've got to execute, well, you know, just randomly execute things. Start by executing the fundamentals.
Right. Start
you don't
with
just
that.
Go with, you know, we're not going to just get out there and try to execute like stealing home. That's advanced techniques.
Yeah, that's
we
true.
We want to do stuff like, you know, look the ball all the way into your glove.
Well, see, that's a thing that's really important because these players, you know, most of them have probably been playing baseball a lot since they were like 10 years old, right?
Yeah.
And then they get to be, you know, people are like, hey, this guy's good. So then they get into like either maybe college baseball or a lot of these. It seems like the Brewers have a lot of players from Venezuela.
Mm-hmm.
I was just looking at the roster and noticing that. Well, anyway, so wherever they got, you know, however they came through the system to get to where they are now, they've been playing baseball for a long time, right?
Right.
And I think it's really important that they not forget the fundamentals, right?
I guess. So
if you start executing and you kind of go past and if you overlook the fundamentals, I think that could cause a problem. You might just drop the ball
like
a routine fly ball.
Right.
I think that's a danger.
Well, you've got to execute the fundamentals in the proper order.
Yeah.
Because throwing the ball, that is a fundamental.
Yeah.
But you have to make sure that you catch it first. So
yeah. Yeah.
You've got to hit each step.
Right. That's true. You know, there was a play in that game that was so cool, and I think it might have even been in the top of the 10th, because I remember it being like close in time with the game-winning home run, but they hit a ball deep. God, I'm pretty sure it was the shortstop. Now, I'm not positive if it was the shortstop or the third baseman. I think it was the shortstop. He goes back and retrieves this ball. He's got to go backwards. The ball is like way out of the infield. He's in like the shallow outfield, right?
Right.
And he's way, just ridiculously way back in the corner there. And he gets the ball. And I'm thinking, why even try to make that throw? Because there's
way. I saw that.
And he throws the guy out. It was ridiculous. The throw was... And then my friend and I were laughing. We were thinking like, now was he third base or was he shortstop?
Yeah,
okay, it was third base because it was way, way deep. And we were saying to each other, like, how many times can you make that throw and, like, not just, like, completely destroy your rotator cuff or something?
I know.
That's, like,
yeah.
That's got to be, that's just unbelievable. So,
yeah, I don't know how to do the math, but whatever, it's at least 100, probably 140 feet.
Yeah, because I was thinking
you
that.
Take the pitcher's mound to each of the bases is 60 and a half.
Yeah.
It's, so that's 61.
It's so well,
times
much farther
two,
than.
Yeah, so 120. Yeah. And then he's way back in the hole there. He's
way back there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was nuts. That's kind of cool.
That would be tough. That's like throwing it half a football field, like on a rope.
Yeah. So, yeah, I recommend getting good, especially if you're like me, you go to one game every 2 years. I'd like to go to like two games a year, I think. Maybe that's radical. But, you know, pay a little extra and get really good seats. So we were in the first row of the 200 level, right, like, between home and third, closer to third.
Yeah, very
great
nice.
Great vantage point. Yeah, it was good. All right, there's your baseball report. So it is a music podcast, and but we like to give the listeners a bonus, right? So, but now this is the real heart of the podcast right here. That's the sound of rock and roll.
Yeah, right? It is. Yeah. As we were saying off air, it's the purest form of rock and roll.
Yeah.
There's no studio trickery.
Nope.
There's
nothing.
No auto, not even any vocals. It's just rock and roll.
It's just pure rock and roll.
If there were a dictionary that was just like only audio clips, that would be the audio clip under rock and roll.
If you looked up rock and roll and you clicked on it, it would play that.
Right.
Yeah. Makes sense to me. So, well, you and I each have a live report. And since I have more babbling to do, maybe I should give mine first.
Okay.
So, I went to see Chastity Belt in Milwaukee, and that was cool.
Yeah.
My wife is also a fan of Chastity Belt. It was really cool. So, of course, we're the oldest people there. But they played at a rock and roll bar called the Cactus Club.
Yeah, I know that place.
Have you been there?
Mm-hmm. That's tiny.
It's small. It's not quite as small as the Frequency, probably, but it's kind of on that general scale, right? I think I saw somewhere that the capacity is 150. And kind of a little, I'm going to say like a slightly, I don't want to say black mark, but kind of unfortunate thing, that it was not sold out, and it was probably half full, so maybe like 75 people. And I'm thinking, man, Chastity Belt, they should be pulling in a lot more people. And I think a couple of the shows after that one sold a lot better. I think I remember reading the Chicago one. I think it was close to selling out, and so they're going to do better the rest of the tour. But Milwaukee, you should have done a little bit better than that. But we did our part.
You were right. Well, more than 2% of
the we were more
audience
than 2%
came
of the audience.
From Madison. So
exactly, it was unfortunate that I got sick at the venue. I don't know. I must have eaten something bad or that I was allergic to or something.
Really?
So I'm sitting there with this terrible gut ache, and I'm like, you don't really want to be in an indie rock and roll bar when you need like an emergency bathroom, right? And
no.
So it was kind of. Let's say it was like a dangerous situation, but luckily they had a facility and I survived.
Right.
And I made it through the whole Chastity Belt set without getting sick during the performance.
That's good.
And they were great. They're really good. They sound a lot like they sound on the album. They seem really just down to earth, like just cool people.
Uh-huh.
And there was a relative, I think it was a aunt or aunt, as some people pronounce it, of one of the band members was there, like, running up to the front, taking video and stuff. It was really cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
And they seemed, you know, genuinely happy to be playing. And the lead guitar player said that they were so happy to be playing these new songs. They were so happy to be playing the new songs that they didn't want to play any old ones. So almost everything was from the new album.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's their best album, so I was very happy with that.
Good.
So, and
so it was a 50% turnout. Did they give them 50% effort, or was it 110% effort?
I think they gave about 103.
That's pretty good.
But, you know, that's still over 100%.
Yeah, effort. Not easy.
Right. So, really solid. Yeah. No, they weren't down on the crowd for being too small. They were very cool. The opening band I've talked about on the podcast. Did you ever listen to Sneaks?
I just remember you talking about them.
Yeah. It's a one-woman band. But now for the live show, it's the one woman plus a guy standing at a laptop.
Ah.
And it kind of didn't help. Like we were saying afterwards, they could have just let her, she could have manned the laptop herself and then either just been one person or even like had somebody drum on some of the songs. So I don't think the guy added very much, but I think that it still came across pretty cool. Like all of her punchy bass parts sounded really good live.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very, you know, it was different and interesting and fun. So I'm giving a general positive on that.
Good.
And then there was an opener, like a real opener called Varsity, band from Chicago. And I think they're pretty good. They apparently have been working on a new album. My wife talked to the singer when I was on an emergency bathroom outing. She said the singer was very nice.
Mm-hmm.
She enjoyed talking to her. Now, of course, if she knew what she was doing, she would have had her phone out and been recording for the podcast.
Yeah, you'd think so. She'd say, hi, I'm a correspondent with an internationally famous podcast. And
right. Yeah. I can't believe she didn't think of that.
You have to have some questions like always in your mind.
Right. Yep. Okay, so Chastity Belt. And I put a little clip. I think I put like 22 seconds of Chastity Belt or something like that up on our Facebook page.
So yeah, nice.
Check it out. Yeah, now Barrett has a real live report. Now we could, not that mine wasn't real, but like this is really legit now, what you're about to tell us about. We could play the music again. It probably would justify it, but I think the listeners still have kind of that, they've got that general vibe in their heads, right?
It's still reverberating.
Right. So let's hear it.
Minds. So yeah, I went and saw Nick Cave on, it was a week ago Saturday in Chicago at this place called the Auditorium Theater. And in stark contrast to the Cactus Club, have you ever been to the Auditorium Theater? I'd been there once.
I may have been like a really long time ago.
I saw Les Mis there in like 25 years ago. And I don't remember it being this big. There's 4,000 seats.
Oh, that is big.
In an auditorium. And so you get in. I mean, it was stunning, the size and the beauty of this place. You know, it's built in 1899, or 1889, rather. So it's really old and really ornate. And we were up on the third balcony, way far back. And even those seats were $80. That far up there.
4,000 people.
Uh-huh.
That's impressive.
Right, and we had among the cheapest seats you could get.
What part of town is that theater in?
Do you know Congress Avenue? It's like Congress near Michigan Avenue. Or if you know where, it's just south of, it's like near Jackson and Wabash, kind of over there.
Okay, so pretty close to downtown.
Kind of. It's basically downtown.
Yeah.
And, so we got there, and the show was supposed to start at 8, and I don't know if they didn't open the doors until shortly before that or what, but there were still, you know, like, seemed like about 3,000 people outside snaking around in these lines.
Hmm.
Anyway, we got in and got some drinks and settled in, and there's no opener. When he came out, you know, the place kind of erupted, and he's got a real presence. He's a pretty tall guy. He's wearing, like, a black suit and a white shirt, and show starts off real, real mellow, right? Like the band is playing very hushed background, and he's singing in kind of his like gothic preacher singing thing, and played a couple of songs that I didn't recognize, but he speaks so clearly and enunciates so well that you can kind of hear it like he's telling a story for the first time, right? So I thought, all right, well, this isn't really going to be too much of a rock show, but I can settle in and just sort of listen to these things. You know, singing about death and God and murder and stuff like that.
Were the acoustics good enough that you could?
The acoustics were incredible.
Great. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
That's not necessarily a common thing with a venue that big.
No. But then after about maybe 10 minutes, he played the song, you know, From Her to Eternity. It's like his song from about 1984.
I don't think I know it.
And it's a real, real rocker. And yeah, from then on, it was just like spellbinding. You know, he's moving into the crowd and he's gesticulating and walking out into the crowd and having people like he's singing about feel my heartbeat and people are like touching him and he's like, ah! It was like, it was, you know, I'd seen him before, but he seemed really, really engaged and I don't know, it was just thrilling. He sang a lot of new stuff, some things from the 80s, which got sort of a, you know, less enthusiastic, you know, reception than the 90s stuff did. So I guess people are more familiar with his 90s work.
Hmm.
But whenever he did a 90s song, the crowd was very, very appreciative. And I don't know, at the end, he came out and did a couple of encores. And one of them was a song that I wouldn't even suggest anybody listen to. It is so, so filthy. But somehow he had the people in the audience singing these words that, you know, I couldn't even say on this podcast. And ended the thing with Push the Sky Away, which is a new song. And I don't know, I just walked out like, I can't believe what I just saw. It was one of the better shows I've seen in quite a while.
Wow, that's great.
He did play the song, I can't remember the name of the song, but the one where it's like, they told us that our gods would outlive us. But, you know, it's like singing about whatever it was that the song was written about. But you could tell that when he was singing it for the record and in concert that the words kind of touched on his son's death.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, my God.
Wow.
It's pretty emotional. But, yeah. Then he came back after that and played some more rockin' numbers. And that was great. That was really, really, really good.
Cool. That's great. I saw somebody put some footage on Facebook, and it looked like the crowd was just going totally. He had the crowd just mm-hmm. like in his hands completely, like for the little blip that I saw.
Right.
I didn't even know what it was, you know, because it was just a Facebook friend of mine. You know, I'm not like the young people, Barrett.
Right.
The young people have 1,000 Facebook friends, and they only actually know like 100 of them, right?
Right.
So I've got like 100, and I know, you know, 90 of them.
Right.
The other 10, good. I don't know right. that. They're like friends of friends. So this was a guy that I don't really know that well. So I, you know, I didn't know like what rock show he might be at. And he just like put a little 30-second video up there. And I started watching him like, what is this? The crowd's like going kind of nuts.
Right.
And then at some point I saw that it was Nick Cave. But yeah. Yeah. Pretty cool.
Yeah. That was very, very cool.
Well, that's good. That, your report was worth a nickel, so I think we're up to above $0.
Wow.
Yep.
Great. I'm just going to coast the rest of the way.
Yeah. They're thinking, as great as our voices are to listen to, they probably want a little bit of music to listen to, right?
Probably, yeah.
Or maybe we could just do a total, just talk for like an hour and a half.
We could do that.
That'd be like
a, I have a police blotter report.
You do? You want to give that?
Sure.
Okay, let's do it.
I was at work today at the coffee shop, and we got a call from a you know, one of these like check cashing places, like a payday loans or whatever, verifying a check. And I'd never gotten a call like that. I'm like, what are you talking about? So after some back and forth, they gave me the check number and the name of the person who had endorsed it and was trying to cash it. And I looked at our register, and it's like, no, that was a check that we sent to one of our vendors. So then, what the hell is that? And I made some calls and called our vendor. It turns out that our rep from one of the guys that we get food from, his car had been broken into. Hmm. And they stole a bunch of stuff, including a check, and took it there trying to cash it. So we called the cops, and the cops came. And, you know, we're just kind of asking pretty general questions about what had happened. And then they asked me if I wanted to press charges, right? And I was like, I hadn't thought about it. I had no idea. Like, what are the pros and the cons. Well, the con for me would be, well, then this guy gets really pissed off and he comes and harms me.
Yeah.
You say, yeah, like that's what happens? Does that happen?
I don't think so. It would be reasonable fear, but I think it's unlikely.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
And I said, well, what if I don't? And he's like, well, we'll keep doing the investigation. And I mean, we had this guy's name. We know where and when he stole from the car, where he tried to cash it. He wrote his phone number on the back of the check. It's like, this guy did it. So but there's no question about...
But he didn't steal from your car. He stole from the rep's car.
Right. So and it's then, all kind of...
But then are you a victim in any way? Did you lose money?
Well, that's
money?
The thing. We didn't lose money, but if we hadn't...
So they just mean like you'd have to be a witness. So
we would have to be the ones to press charges.
When they said,
I don't even know what that means.
So I mean, like, I don't even necessarily either. But like, okay, so that's probably just their way of saying, are you willing to testify against this guy if we prosecute him, right?
They wouldn't even consider prosecuting him without us saying that we're going to press charges.
Right.
So I thought, if I say no, what he was going to do, he told me this, what he was going to do is just like find the guy, say, we know what you did.
Yeah.
Watch it. And then he'd be, then he could walk.
Maybe.
So, well, that's what the cop said.
So like, you said, okay, sure.
Go for it.
Yeah.
Press charges. So if I end up, whatever, sleeping with the fishes or something.
Okay.
Maybe somebody
We've made a record on the podcast now.
So now a lot of people know my side of the story. So they can.
Right. And you wouldn't lie.
What happened. I would not lie.
Yeah, I'm picturing there were like 8 police cars. Like, and they were up, like, on the curb, like, all around your shop with all the lights flashing.
Yeah, they pull up,
flashing.
Like, super fast.
Yeah.
Like, one guy hops out of the car before it completely stops moving.
Yeah.
Another guy, like, runs over and jumps over the hood of the car on the way out. But, you know, it's kind of, I don't know, it's kind of funny.
Yeah.
It's not funny. I mean, it's funny.
Yeah, but it's like an experience you don't have too often.
It is.
Yeah. Well, it's better to have the police, you know, interview when you didn't get directly affected.
Yeah.
At least the guy didn't like take a baseball bat to your store or something.
No. We've had that. Yeah. Not the baseball bat, but we've
You had your front window smashed, I remember.
They didn't well, there was that.
Yeah.
That was by a drunk person. So that's a crime that they wouldn't even bother looking into.
But it was you got broken into also?
Yeah. Somebody tried to they pried the well, they got caught, but they were prying the like the molding away from the window so that they could carefully take the window out and not make a big big thing.
Like, and they got caught like doing it?
Yeah, well, there was a guy, a drunk guy, up above the Regent Street Retreat. He's in an apartment looking across the street. And he called the cops, and the cops came, and one guy ran, and the other guy was just like sitting there, and they scooped him up.
No, right.
But, and then in court, JJ had to testify, and the guy testified too, and he said to JJ, he's like, well, I was really hoping they wouldn't ask me if I was drunk, because I was really hammered. You know, and if the defense attorney had known about that, you know, under cross-exam, I don't even know if they...
The guy was going to be honest if he was asked.
Apparently. Were you drunk?
Well, I guess so.
I was drunk.
Well.
So, yeah.
Huh. Wow, we should have a Barrett run-ins with the law update every week.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of theme music would we have for that?
You'd have to have Dragnet.
Yeah, I was going to say like some 60s cop show or something. Yeah, that's kind of the only thing. That's what crime is.
If we have an update for this, maybe we can play that.
Yeah.
But we'll just leave this one, you know, as jingle-free.
Yeah. We didn't think of it beforehand. No pre-production.
No, it just kind of popped into my head. So we'll just move on to the music now.
Indie rock veterans. Remember Saint Etienne?
Mm-hmm.
They're an old favorite of mine, and God, they must have. I didn't do the music journalism. I bet they have like a dozen albums by now, I'm going to say.
Seems likely.
And since the early 90s, I'm going to say around the early 90s, since then, seems like they've been putting out like probably less often, but they've had, you know, consistent output. And something that really impresses me is they're pretty consistently good. Like they're not like one of these bands that gets older and then they're just kind of losing it. And they put out an album and their heart's not in it and just no good. So I remember they had one 3 or 4 years ago that I'm pretty sure I talked about on the podcast called Tales from Turnpike House. I'm pretty sure it was called. That was good. And now they've got another new one called Home Counties. the lyrical theme, and you know me, I don't really pay that much attention to lyrical themes, but the lyrical theme is the suburban towns in England that they're all from or familiar with. So mm-hmm. it's kind of a thematic thing. But it's more of the kind of 60s sounding, kind of poppy, but cool music. And I like it. And all right. One thing they do really well, and maybe you'll notice as we play some of these tracks, they use a drum machine a lot. But the sound of the drums is different on different tracks, and it's kind of cool because you can tell that they're really thinking about, like, it's not like you just, like, an afterthought, you just throw some rhythm on there. You can tell that the sound of the drums is thought out to like fit the mood of the song.
Yeah.
So I'm going to start with one called, this is track 4, it's called White Leaf. Indie rock veterans, Saint yeah. Etienne.
Very, very lovely.
Yeah, they're still they still have that kind of sweetness, and the songwriting is pretty consistent.
Have you seen them before?
I have not, but I'm on assignment. I think it's September 29th or something. It's late September. I have tickets to go see them.
In Madison?
The Park West.
Oh, that's a cool place.
In Chicago. I've never been there.
Yeah.
So that should be cool, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's they're worthy of a trek to Chicago, I think. I should mention that the Fourth Bedroom Studios is swarming with flies for some reason.
Yeah, it's like little fruit flies.
Yeah, they're trying to get Barrett's whiskey, and he's protecting it with his life.
Do you have like a basket of peaches in here or something?
I don't know. Maybe they just like us. Maybe it's the dog. I don't know.
Hmm.
Yeah. All right. Home Counties is the album by Saint Etienne. We are going to play another track. This is number 7. We like to play number 7, right?
Yes.
You would pick this one, even though you haven't listened to the album. So
let's just say I did.
Yeah. It's called Take It All In.
Yeah.
Yep.
Two solid selections. Nice.
Yeah, pretty good, right?
Yeah, I do like it. That's always a thing that a band that I've just kind of known about and been under-informed about.
Well, there's so many bands like that where, you know, maybe you'd really like them if you took the time. But, you know, to get to the top of the pile for Barrett, you got to be pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's got to be.
And it could be maybe it's some week that you go see Nick Cave live or something, and just like other music takes mm-hmm. takes precedence.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have another a thing. The thing that we were talking about by email today.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we should just say it. Should we just say it? Should we just divulge?
Just blurt it out.
Yeah, this is like deep secrets of the podcast, right?
Right.
So yeah, so I told Barrett, I said, should I listen to that new Fleet Foxes album? Yeah, I guess I got to at least listen to it once. So I listened to it once, and then I thought, I don't know if I just don't really feel like listening to it anymore.
That's the way I felt about it, too, after listening to it once.
Did you listen to it once?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You were saying you weren't even sure if you needed to listen to it once, but... Well, here's the thing, and I feel kind of bad because, like, two or three of those early Fleet Foxes albums I thought were great. I really liked them, and some of the reviews of the new one are saying, you know, this is, like, a little more complex, and it's, like, just as good as all their other albums. And I think, you know, that might be true, but, and it's not even necessarily their fault, but, like, I kind of just don't feel like listening to that style of music right now, right? Because it's, like...
That's exactly what it is.
When did that album that really got popular, would that have been, like, 2010 or something? I'm not sure.
Well, there's one, this is their first one in 2011, and I think they... Yeah, I think it was like 2008.
The one that got really big.
2011 was a big one, and then...
Okay, yeah. So this one. That seemed so cool.
A lot has changed.
So fresh at the time that they were like so vocal-oriented, you know?
Right.
And I thought they were great. And, you know, maybe they still are great, but yeah, I guess we'll have to let the listeners take that one on their own, right?
Yeah, I just don't like the way...
We're not going to do the work to listen
sounds.
To it. Yeah.
You know, well, I'm not saying... It's not a judgment. It is a judgment. I don't like the way that their music sounds.
You know...
So there's that. It's very judgmental, but I'm not talking about the quality of the music.
Yeah,
it's
sometimes...
It's difficult to do, and the songs are fine and stuff. I just listen to it, and I think, I don't want to listen to that anymore. I don't like... I just don't like their aesthetic, and I never really have. And... it's that damn Phil Eck again.
Oh, did he do this new one?
He didn't. It doesn't say who the producer was.
Okay.
And the sources that I checked. Yeah, but I know he did mix it.
I know when he gets his hands on something, that's a bad thing for Barrett. It's like...
He gets his hands on something, it's all going to sound like Band of Horses.
Yeah. Yeah. So sometimes if I think that I might like something, but it might take some absorbing, I will consciously... put it on while I'm doing some other work, knowing that I'm only giving it like a 1/3 attention, right?
Right.
So I tried to do that today. I did that today, and I got this weird sensation that even though it was only on in the background, I still was like hoping that it would get over with. So it's like, that's a bad sign, right? That's the opposite
sign.
Of like, I can't wait to listen to this again.
Right.
Right?
Shouldn't have to do that.
Yeah. So, man, sorry, people.
You know what? If there's anybody out there that listens to our podcast and thinks the same thing, like, how long are these guys going to talk? I don't think I really like this, but I gotta listen all the way through.
Yeah.
Just don't.
Yeah.
Turn it off.
You don't have to.
Right.
Just turn off.
Now.
Hit delete
button.
You don't
have to listen to it.
Hit the delete button. Yeah.
So if anybody is still listening, you know.
They're mostly thinking they want to hear some more of the Saint Etienne album,
probably,
right?
Yeah.
So this has a cool track title, so I'm going to play it. It's called... Unopened Fan Mail.
You told me by a ring, just anything, but I'd much rather be waiting around for you. Look at the sky above. You'll see my love, but my
I'm going to declare us 3 for 3, no matter what you say.
All right. I'm not even going to bother making an opinion about it then.
You know, I think...
You were 2 for 2, and I'll just recuse myself there. from the last one.
Yeah, recuse yourself, because I'm not letting you vote. That hi-hat there is either a real live hi-hat, or they've got a pretty darn sophisticated drum machine. Mm-hmm. So that could have been live drums. They put those effects on them. You can't really tell, right? Could be a drum machine, could be live drums.
Yeah, that's true.
These guys are production wizards, so they can kind of pull off whatever they want.
Can I make an embarrassing confession?
Yeah, I'd like you to.
When you say hi-hat, I am imagining the two cymbals that come together.
Yeah, that's it. That's
okay,
the hi-hat.
But
I've
never been sure about that.
Yeah, that's the hi-hat. And so that's very prominent in that song.
It's got a pedal on it.
Right, right. Because that's to mute it. Like, if you hit the pedal, it keeps it... It mutes it. If you let it up, then it does a psh, and if you hold it down, it does a
thing. There you go. Yeah.
Maybe I should teach you how to play drums, Barrett. Or
Has he surpassed you in drumming ability?
Way surpassed me, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. He's a lot better than me. But the dad of the little girl up the street wanted Grant to teach her how to play drums. He was not sure he wants to do it because he's like,
for money?
Yeah, I think so. But he's like, I don't know how to play drums, like, academically. So he's not sure what he would teach her. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's not sure. So, yeah, but that's kind of cool, right?
That is cool.
Just like what a rocker she would become, though, if she learned drums from Grant. It'd be pretty cool.
So would she hold her sticks, like, both of them?
Oh, like, both of them, like...
Not like a jazz drummer, right?
Nah, you don't do that jazz thing. That's like, yeah. No, you got to pound on them. You gotta,
does anybody play the jazz style?
Oh, like rock and rollers?
Yeah.
Occasionally you see somebody who does. I can't come across like in my head. I can't think of one, but I've seen them. But it's pretty rare, because if you have that, if you play it this way, like underhanded on the snare, you'll be tapping, not like pounding.
Right.
For rock and roll, you usually want to hit that snare pretty hard. So
makes sense.
Yeah, that's what I think. One thing that Saint-Étienne does that's kind of cool is they'll like throw in this sweet theme music that sounds like a movie theme. So I just want to play a little bit of this track, which is kind of cool. So like, imagine like just a movie soundtrack, and the title of this is kind of cool. It's called Church Pew Furniture Restorer. Kind of cool, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very cinematic.
Yeah, and they like to put
churchy.
A lot of their albums, they like to put those things like in the middle as like transitions, like kind of mood things. So like, again, it's like the sequencing is carefully crafted, as well as all the instrumentation and everything. Mm-hmm. So pretty cool. It's worth your time to listen to this. There's one track, I'm going to criticize one track though. There's one, gets toward the end, and The album is really pretty long. It's probably a little longer than it needs to be.
I was gonna say, that looks like a lot.
And the, well, some of these are really short tracks, but see, then the second to last track called Sweet Arcadia, it's like almost 8 minutes long. That's just too much. And yeah, they should have just left that one off. But generally, I'm giving it a definite thumbs up. So, all right, now, you know what we're going to do next? We're going to pause the podcast and have a production meeting. So we'll be back right after this non-commercial. Okay, we're back. That was a long commercial to put the people through, wasn't it?
Yeah, we filled up our drinks. That was probably
priority
number one.
Right.
Talked about bass guitars, but most importantly, we made some programming decisions. So
it was probably our discussion would have been so entertaining. People would have paid money for that, right?
Probably.
Like deciding what whiskey to refill, and then how many ice cubes I wanted to put in, and then
what did we end up going with here?
This is the cheap Trader Joe's scotch.
Well, I mean, the number of ice cubes, we got three cubes in there.
Yeah, I've got a few fragments. I got about four.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so here's the thing. We could ramble on, but I've got like a bunch of things that you haven't listened to. So I think we should talk about one more thing, and then hopefully I can find the time to record a podcast with a couple other things to tide the people over. So that'll be at least one more podcast. We're still going to be on an erratic schedule for a while, but we'll eventually get back to normal, right?
Yeah.
We're going to promise them that we'll eventually get back to normal?
I think we can do that.
Good. Let's do it. Okay. So here's a fun thing. I, just because I follow the social media for old people, you know what the social media for old people are?
Like what?
Just Facebook and Twitter, like, because that's all we know.
Yeah.
Right? We don't do Snapchat. There's probably some kind of way cooler thing now, right, that the kids these days use.
What do they do? I don't know. I have no idea.
Actually, still, like most, even indie rockers, they're going to still use Facebook and Twitter, right? So we're not complete terrible old people, are we?
No, it's fine.
Yeah.
We're excused for a
while. Well, in one of those media, I a little thing popped up, and it said, it's the 25th anniversary of the album Let Me Come Over by Buffalo Tom. And I looked at that and I said, that was a great album. I love that album. 25th anniversary. So if you take 2007 minus 25, do the math. What do you get?
1992.
Yeah, 1992. Now, we like to talk about how, you know, Chris doesn't buy into this, but you and I love to talk about how, you know, they like to criticize the 90s, right? For a music decade.
Yeah, I do.
And I kind of do. But there was some good stuff in the 90s, and I'm going to credit my brother-in-law for introducing me to Buffalo Tom. This is a Boston band, and they were... I'm going to try to take a crack at this, okay? I'm going to describe Buffalo Tom. I don't want to say I'm surprised, but it definitely would not have surprised me if you had listened to Buffalo Tom, but apparently you did not.
I did not.
Because you're telling me that, like, you've heard of them, right, but you just... don't know.
Yeah, it's just like a...
it's one of those names.
It's a random, flipping through like new CDs, you come across Buffalo Tom once in a while.
So they're a little bit of like a harder rock, but kind of Americana. How does that sound? Okay. So, a little bit of that 90s, crunch, but there's kind of a... not really country.
What do you mean, like Soul Asylum?
I think they probably somewhere and somehow... they'd maybe get put in a similar category, although I always was much a bigger fan of Buffalo Tom than Soul Asylum. But anyway, this album, Let Me Come Over, like, I have it, like, see this? Look at the album on my iTunes. It's like I got 5 stars on
it. Wow, he literally put 5 stars next to it.
Like,
I don't rate
albums, like, hardly ever.
Not one of those songs is a 4-star song?
No, every single song is perfect. It's like a Beatles album.
Wow.
No, I'm just kidding. That just means that I put like...
it applied it universally.
I just put this is a good album. So then like made every song a 5-star song. Okay, let's just start by playing a song. And we're going to find out what... I decided I'm going to ask Barrett whether he thinks he would have liked this back in 1992 if he had taken the time to listen to it. So here's track 2, Tail Lights Fade.
We'll be right back. my ears. I'm down on the ground, and my love's been tried for years. I'm lost in the dark, and I feel like a dinosaur. Broken face and broken hands. I'm a broken man. In her world, the story was much like mine. She could be my Valentine, and although we've never met, I won't forget her yet. She cut herself off from her past, and she's alone at last.
Buffalo Tom.
Yeah, I'm not sure. You know, it just seems like it doesn't literally sound like this band that I'm going to cite, but it is reminiscent of them in some larger way.
I'm worried.
It's like the Gin Blossoms.
Yeah.
His voice doesn't sound like the guy, but...
It has so much more depth than like heart to it, but I can understand like hearing it the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, you're hearing it in 2007, not 1992, so the context is a little bit different. But
that's true.
But yeah, I mean, I can't disagree that it's kind of there's a 90s. God, what's that other?
Delamitri?
No, not Delamitri. What was that band that had all the hits? Oh God, there's another
from the 90s.
I've got to come up with it because my brother-in-law was on their tour bus. My sister and brother-in-law like got invited onto their tour bus. Oh God, what a funny story! I got to figure out who that band is.
Kind of in that same
Jim yeah Blossom's what's the band of like kind of this era that had like some really really big hits
and then faded really quickly.
Yeah
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
They play at like county fairs now, but
I know who you're talking about. They had a song Two Princes and right.
Damn, I don't
it's,
know
uh,
that doesn't sound right.
They were on Saturday Night Live.
They were probably big enough that they were on. Yeah.
Okay.
We got to come up with it.
In the meantime,
here's another good one from Let Me Come Over by Buffalo Tom. It's called Mineral.
Spangled up, glittering on. There's a monster in the kitchen, his lights turned on. Thanks for coming, it meant a lot. Sure do know how to put me on a spot. Flowers die.
Okay, that's Buffalo Tom. All right.
So the band I was trying to think of was the Spin Doctors, and that's right. Wrong.
I told you that was wrong, but it was the Goo Goo Dolls.
Yeah.
You remember them?
Sure.
See, now I think the of all those bands, other than Buffalo Tom, which I obviously think is like a cut above all of them, but then, okay, let's say subcategory, Spin Doctors. What was the other one you mentioned?
Delamitri.
Yeah, and who else?
Who else did we mention?
Well, of those bands, I'll put Goo Goo Dolls in there, but I think Goo Goo Dolls were like the top of that tier. I kind of liked some of their stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe you didn't.
You know, but, that's a band like that is, you know, the early 90s was a big time for like the BMG CD club, right? When you pay,
yeah,
you
I pay guess so, like yeah.
20 bucks or whatever, and you get like...
You get a whole bunch of them, right?
30 CDs.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then if you don't like specifically mail something to them and cancel it every month, they give you another one and you have to pay like 15 bucks for it.
Right, yeah, yeah.
So I have a bunch of stuff that, you know, I'm not really into, but from that exact era and,
yeah,
you know, things like mid and late period, Delamitri, maybe even Goo Goo Dolls and, yeah, whatever. But no Buffalo Tom.
That's because they were too good.
They were too good.
The Goo Goo Dolls, I can't remember any of their song titles, you know, so I don't even know what they are
here.
But like apparently their top song is something called Iris. Let's play some of that. This is not sounding promising.
Not at all. Or not familiar.
This is their most popular song. Oh,
okay.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
I kind of went to bat for this band.
Do you want to edit that stuff that you said about them out?
No, I'm just going to say that... Wait a minute. No, get out of here.
Making it louder.
Yeah. Yeah. Here, maybe... How about... Maybe Black Balloon is better. Let's try that one. Yeah. Almost fell into that hole. Okay, forget it, man. And their picture doesn't look cool at all.
You know what it sounds actually a little bit like? Sounds like Josh Rouse.
Yeah, I don't know. I remembered the Goo Goo Dolls having some good stuff, but that's not showing in right there. Hey, you want to, you know who's really terrible? Let's talk about it. We don't like to talk about things that are terrible, but it's kind of fun sometimes, right?
Sometimes,
because it gets your adrenaline going, right?
Yeah.
Did you see that they started having more shows at Breece Stevens Field?
Yes.
Right? And... I think I talked about seeing Wilco there and being in the gold circle. Remember, they got the free tickets. And then Boston played there
like
a month ago, and it was just funny that Boston was playing there.
Mm-hmm.
They love having the Avett brothers.
I know, right?
Like, are we supposed to think they're great? I don't know. I just don't. I've never listened to them really.
I know their first album a little bit. I can't remember.
Was that the
right
one
now?
Called? There's one called Emotionalism
that
got really popular.
Right. But you know what? Let's circle back to the Fleet Foxes. That's what that garbage sounds like to me.
Right.
Just that
it's like how
overly
many,
Americana
yeah.
textured, and I just can't stand it anymore.
Yeah, I can't get into it either.
I can't stand it.
But, okay, so I noticed a listing of somebody else who's going to play at Breece Stevens Field, and I was just like...
Willie Nelson.
Is Willie Nelson really going to? Okay, so that's... Yeah, I mean, come
I'd go
on.
To that.
He's legit. He's like 90 years old, right?
I don't think he's that old, but he's old.
He's pretty old. So, yeah, well, yeah, fine. Darius Rucker. Do you remember who that is?
Oh, God, yeah. The guy from Hootie and the Blowfish.
Hootie and the Blowfish. Now, that is just bad, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember from the net, was that like maybe mid-90s or something?
A little earlier than, well...
And they were really popular. And apparently so he was the singer, and apparently he became
country.
A country singer. And he kind of sounds like a country singer anyway, so it makes sense, right? And it's just so terrible.
Right.
And I went back because I hadn't heard Hootie and the Blowfish in like, I don't know, 15 years, right? I don't listen to the radio. Like, I'm like, I remember that song, I Only Want to Be With You? And I put it on, and I was like, oh my God, is this terrible? It's so bad, I'm not even going to play 15 seconds of it right
now. You know what the music sounds like to me? You know those guys, like, during the farmer's market up on the square?
Mm-hmm.
They'll play, like, Peruvian folk music or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And it's, like, 99% canned. And then they just have a couple guys playing little things. It sounds like Muzak.
Like they have it on a boombox or something.
Yeah, that's what sing background along with it. Music.
Yeah.
Or Hootie and the Blowfish, like nothing but just boring, rounded edges and sappy garbage. Like, why are we bothering to pick on Hootie and the Blowfish? That's beneath us.
They're not even worth, like, mentioning their name, right?
No.
Yeah. That could have dipped the podcast below
$0.
You should
go back and, like, apply beeps.
That could have...
Right. To when we say that name.
So that could have dipped it below zero, but I'll play one more Buffalo Tom song that I'm going to claim is going to bring it back above zero. So here's one called Stymied. Okay, that's Buffalo Tom.
Yeah.
That's an album that I liked a lot in 1992 mm-hmm. or 93, whatever. And I go back to it and I still really like it. And yeah, it does sound like those bands that you mentioned, definitely. But I think there's a level above in my mind.
Yeah. Well, it definitely rose above those Goo Goo Dolls samples that you played.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And I'm just wondering, you know. The question isn't whether I would go home and play it tonight, because right. It is 25 years old, and it maybe it's too late for me to appreciate it for what it was.
Right.
I think I might have not been in the right person for it then either.
I'm not sure. What were you listening to in, you know, like 1993?
I had largely given up.
There was some Nick Cave stuff. Apparently.
Yeah, for sure. Everything like Henry's Dream, a Nick Cave album, came out in 91 or 92. And then, like, all of his, like, listening to stuff he did before and after, all through the 90s, was, like, my favorite thing. Definitely my favorite
thing.
Yeah,
so we found something for you.
Yeah, there's some stuff.
But you pretty much were, what were you saying?
I just really, well, I liked the first Nirvana album and mm-hmm. hated everything that it inspired.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I didn't like that Mad Chester type thing, like Happy Mondays and stuff. So I was like, screw all this. I'm done. I don't want to listen to these things anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I just listened. I got way into the Beatles and David Bowie and the Beach yeah. Boys and Nick Cave and then stuff that I used to like back in the 80s.
Yeah. The music industry didn't come to you, so you found your own stuff.
Yeah.
You went found back.
My own path.
There's enough stuff out there.
It wasn't until the late 90s that I got back into it.
And then you got back into it. That's good, yeah. Yeah, late 90s started to get some... You know, the Radiohead stuff, the Flaming Lips, and
right.
Wilco got good, and And then there was plenty of stuff. Then we had the whole, you know, I think indie rock became actual indie rock kind of in the, you know, late 90s into the early 2000s, right? That's when you kind of, I think when music started becoming available online is when you have like real indie rock, right?
I guess.
I mean, before that was still labels.
When and people I guess I say think indie rock, though, are they talking about distribution methods or are they talking about a sound?
They can talk about whatever they want. Right. But I'm kind of
talking about the distribution
right.
of things.
I'm talking about how like the whole world of music got broader once everybody could go online and find music that
yeah,
way.
Well, that's true.
So it's kind of a like a it's the great equalizer, right? So you can't have any more Led Zeppelins or the Who's, but you can have so many great bands that are more like underground bands,
right?
Like we were talking about this last week. You go see Chastity Belt, and you're like, "This is great! I love this band. This is great!" And you're watching a band with less than 100 people, and it costs $10, right?
Yeah.
Now that's bad for the band because they deserve to make more money than that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, compare that to, you know, if your taste is in more popular things and you have to pay $75 and go to like a giant venue, it's kind of cool that we have this whole world of, you know, people touring who can at least make enough money to tour around and you get to go see them.
Right.
And see them in a small venue.
That was always
and
the
it's
case,
great.
Though.
There you weren't know, as the many, 80s. Though, right? There weren't as many.
As many bands?
As many bands like touring small venues that you could actually hear.
I'm not sure if that's true. I really
well before
not that we were paying attention to. I mean,
maybe there was a scene and it was just like you had to find it in a different way. Like there were like the fanzines
like little
and stuff.
Hardcore scenes.
Yeah, you're
you know,
right.
Like even in Green Bay, there'd be like a little hardcore scene. And
I guess maybe what I'm saying is it's easier for me to find it.
So, yeah,
but yeah, you have a point there. There was always the scene, I guess, to some extent. So everything I just said is completely wrong, so Barrett, just prove me incorrect. But
you're going to edit that out, so
I should
worry about
yeah,
it.
If I ever say anything that's incorrect, I usually edit it out, because that way it maintains the aura that I
right.
only say correct things.
But then he won't edit out my responses, so sometimes I'll be making yeah. these non sequiturs, and people are like,
it won't make any sense
Barrett
at all.
Barrett is a dumbass.
Right. Yeah.
And really, it was Will that was being the dumbass, and I was...
Yeah. It's so. The power of being the editor. Yeah. So we rambled pretty good here. I mean, we could just ramble forever, but...
we could.
One
so of
I
our
think,
ideas
yeah.
was to do two podcasts.
Right.
But we had a pre-production meeting and neither one of us had the energy
and
on
a
it.
Mid, the mid-production meeting really, really cemented it, right?
Yeah.
When we did that pause, we decided, yeah. So, yeah, it'll be a little random for the next, I don't know, 2 to 3 weeks. We'll try to get back on a regular schedule. I bet some more new music will come out, right?
More new music will come out. We'll maybe even see some. Well, I'm going to go to Summerfest.
Do you have a thing in mind? Is 38 Special playing this year?
Probably.
They usually do.
I would think so, yeah. I don't know. I've got them checked off my bucket list now, though.
True.
So I don't need to.
Who would be next on
that.
The bucket list?
Next on the bucket list is
like,
probably Skinner.
I was going to say Leonard Skinner featuring only like one original member.
Right.
Something like that.
Right. The guy that was the guitar tech and now he's like yeah. the main guy.
Yeah. Was that, remember there was a band called the Rosington Collins Band? And I think those guys were in Leonard Skinner. So like some, you know, a guy named Rosington and a guy named Collins. So now there's probably a band just named Rosington, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's only a guy who played like rhythm guitar for
Rosington.
Skinner. For
no,
Skinner
but,
and then in for Rosington Collins or whatever, right? So maybe
well, wouldn't even maybe necessarily have that direct connection anymore.
Yeah, well,
be like, yeah, I was in Rosington.
Yeah,
I was like, I played a little bit on their last album.
That should be enough to get like 5,000 people at Summerfest, though, don't you think? As long as he plays a cover of Freebird, come on.
Yeah,
it's like I once played with Skinner live and we played Freebird, so I'm going to do it again.
Yeah,
right.
So, I mean, it'd be like I once played with Rosington live and we did.
Yeah, we did Freebird a cover of Freebird. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Well, you should be able to, something in that category. You'll be able to see yeah. at Summerfest.
Well, Chris wanted to go see Girl Talk.
Oh,
which
girl, that's like
seeing
a,
that.
That'd live, be like a guy with a laptop, right?
I'm not sure what you're seeing there.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
Is he going to? Maybe he'll have like two laptops, one hand on each space bar, and it's like boom. And if he can yeah. start them at the exact right time, it'll sound great.
I'm going to say you better have a pretty darn good light show,
yeah,
or like video graphics or something.
Well, I think a lot of people that would maybe enjoy what's going to be happening there would be on, you know, maybe they'd be on drugs, right?
Yeah,
so the
maybe.
Light show would be all they need.
Right.
I'm going to be totally straight. I'll probably have like 2 pints of beer in me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to have to be something else to impress me.
Yeah. Well,
I'm a little bit wary.
You're a critic. You require a quality performance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. But you can't go to, I mean, you go to Summerfest and there's just constant bands.
Yeah, it's more. Yeah, it'll be more about the randomness.
So
like
let's
you
say
walk
you,
by.
Yeah, let's
and
say
it's
you
like,
go. Yeah, let's say you go. You know,
Head East is playing.
Head East. That's like the 15-minute version of Never Been Any Reason. Right?
Yeah,
they're exactly. gonna say like, "Save my life, I'm going down for the last time." They'll do that for like 10 minutes.
Right.
They like, clap. Left side, right side.
Yeah.
The men,
for
the
sure.
women.
For come, sure.
Right. You gotta do that.
Yeah.
Right. Wait, you're not loud enough, people. Right.
Right.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Who else? They should be playing. Yeah, who else? Is like REO Speedwagon playing?
I don't know. Now with Gary Richrath.
How about Styx?
Styx, I wonder. I wonder what stage they'd play on. I don't know that they'd play on just a random stage. I think
they'd
think of themselves
like,
as bigger than...
Yeah, they would play at like the level below the big stage, but still a pretty big stage. Because like,
I don't
all those
know
people
about that
would,
either.
Oh, come on. All the demographic of the state fair, man, like a bunch of people like our age, maybe slightly younger, they
I
all
think we
would
might
just
be giving Styx too much.
They'd
credit.
Go nuts over
I
Styx.
I think they'd be playing more like the Seymour County Fair.
Maybe. How about Foghat? Maybe they're playing.
That had popped into my mind.
How about Bob Seger? He should be playing.
Boy.
Steve Miller.
Again, those are people, they're kind of tweeners. They're not good enough to play.
The Cars, they don't play anymore.
Well, I think the Cars would play on that second tier stage and do.
Think
really
how much
well.
Money they could make.
Yeah,
like,
that'd
Rick
be
O'Kazic,
a pretty big show.
Rick O'Kazic should just say we're going to do Cars reunion, and they remember when they did the Cars and they had Todd Rundgren as the singer. That's ridiculous.
Oh, I kind of do. I never heard
thinking?
It, but
yeah.
I remember reading that.
Like, what were they thinking? Right.
Do yourselves a favor, though. Like that first Cars album.
It's a good album.
Go in your car.
It's super catchy.
And play it loud. It's really, really great.
It and, is, unless, but the problem is I feel fortunate that I don't listen to the radio. The problem is that some of these bands, if you listen to the radio, they're so overplayed that you just can't stand it, right? Like you could turn on WIBA in Madison, and you'd probably turn on right now, and they'd be playing the Cars. And it's like, it's... I just can't stand it. It's like, don't make me listen to this again, and then it makes me hate it. But
right.
if I don't hear it for 20 years, then I basically, because I don't listen to the radio, I haven't heard a Cars song in years, and then I think it's pretty good. So
right.
I kind of agree with you that it's pretty good. Here's another example. I had some guy on Facebook saying how great Foreigner was. And I'm like,
that's just,
no.
That's not true at
no,
all.
No, yeah, just don't even say that. I mean, what a terrible band, right? They're
yeah.
like, 2 songs that because I was 16 and they got popular that I like Cold as Ice, I think it's kind
sure,
of cool.
Sure, I liked that know? When I was like 15
yeah.
or 16
but
too.
It's like,
but
don't
like,
ever,
come on.
Don't ever make me listen to Jukebox Hero
no.
ever, ever again in my life.
No.
Right? So like there is no way I would go even to a county fair and see Foreigner because it would like make me mad because some of this stuff is so terrible.
Right.
So... This is totally $0 worth, right?
Kansas.
We're rambling
Kansas
now.
Kansas would be another one that you could see at Summerfest.
Yeah, it'd be Kansas like with one original guy. Because like,
right.
they all like dispersed everywhere. And they
instead of Kansas, there. It would just be like Topeka. You
yeah.
have to rename himself
have to
just
call
like
it,
one
yeah.
guy.
Yeah.
Kansas City.
Right. Kansas City, that'd be good. Yeah.
But
yeah. Yeah, I haven't really, I think I looked at the list, the Summerfest list once. It's always kind of fun to look at it. Because they do have, so they have a lot of music. So, but I do think you could go there and just kind of roam around and get like some pretty good entertainment value in between corn dogs and funnel cakes and
right.
greasy stuff that I don't even know how you like stay alive by the time you leave that place.
No,
right? I mean the food and stuff and like how can you even like not you know not to mention the beer and everything, but like
right.
how do you even like walk out of there alive?
Right, and the. It's all really about true. It's you have to be careful about the food. As far as what you see when you're in there, both on the stage and walking around between the stages,
mm-hmm.
is complete diversity.
Yeah, maybe like too much diversity.
Well, I mean, what about look at just the people that you're around? Go to a show like go to like Pitchfork. Who do you see? Yeah. Like 27-year-old douchebags.
Yeah, it is kind of
all wearing the same guy with like with like maybe they'd have it'd be hot, so they have like a striped tank top on, even though it's hotter than shit. They're wearing like a douche beanie, and they have a beard.
Right.
And so there's a million of those guys.
Right.
I just get sick.
Yeah.
You can go to Summerfest and it's like old people, young people, African American people, Latinos, everything. It's like it's a cross section of anybody that lives in five county radius of that place.
And it's probably actually an interesting diversity. But every one of these types of events that you go to, it is interesting because, like, just the whole crowd observation thing is interesting, right? So it's been, I have not been to Summerfest more than, you know, like maybe twice in the last like 15 years. Mm-hmm. And then many years before that, I went there a few times. And like, I saw REM at Summerfest in like 1980. Nice. They were playing like Chronic Town and probably that was just right after Murmur came out. So it's fantastic, right? So it's super cool. So Summerfest had a lot of cool stuff. But I remember sort of comparing in my mind Summerfest and the State Fair in Milwaukee, which are kind of the two big summer things in Milwaukee, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the State Fair had a really like a rough crowd, like just kind of more like down and out people where I was like kind of like...
Well, it's free to get in maybe or...
Yeah, I'm not sure what it is, but... and maybe the music crowd, maybe it's just me, like my demographic is more toward the Summerfest crowd because it's more musical.
Right.
If I find myself among 38 Special fans, I kind of feel like I'm with my people.
Those are your peeps.
Yeah, I feel comfortable. Sure. It's just like, if you're around 38 Special fans, you feel so comfortable just like walking up and talking to them. Like you kind of know they're kind of caring, good people.
As long as you're like a white guy.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
Well, you kind of think like, maybe in your mind, you're thinking like, It's a subtle thing, but you're kind of thinking like if we both heard Hold On Loosely, we'd both get like kind of that nice feeling.
You might be holding on loosely to the person's hand next to you.
Yeah.
In brotherhood,
right. That's what it's all about. All right. So you'll give us a live report from Summerfest.
Mm-hmm.
Catalog the 16 bands that you see. Give a critical review of each one.
All right. We need to do more of. Like when you were at the Chastity Belt and I was at Nick Cave.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our iPhones have nice recorders, right?
Yeah.
Not recording the music, but maybe some impressions or getting a word from the people that you were with. Like,
right. Like you just record a voice memo and say, we're here at the show.
What do you think of the show, honey?
Yeah, like the present impression. That's a very good idea.
So I'm going to...
We should do that.
I'm going to try to do more of that kind of stuff. Or if you had a Brewer game, I'm going to a Brewer game on Thursday. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to... do a play-by-play for 9 innings. So it'll be about, depending on the speed of the game, about 3 hours.
It'll be about 3 hours long.
So you guys can all maybe listen to that if I get around to putting it up.
Actually, Barrett, that's going to go in the Will's Band of the Week box set.
Okay. Right?
That'd be like $85.
You can't give that away for free.
It'd be like $85.
Yeah.
Where you announce the entire Brewer game.
Yeah. And
we used to do that.
Forth.
I told you that, right?
Yeah, you did.
We did that at County Stadium because, like the old stadium, you could go way to the back. There'd be nobody around you. All these empty seats in front of you. So you could just kind of... Because we thought it was cool to be like describing the play-by-play and then have like the crowd noise in the background.
Oh, yeah.
So if they hit a home run...
taping it.
If they hit a home run and you say, it's a drive to left center field! And you got the crowd going crazy in the background. It's like empowering.
You were old enough that you were probably going when Hank Aaron was playing for the Brewers.
I saw Hank Aaron's last game.
Are you serious? Wait, not his last home run.
No, his last game that he played.
Wow.
It was the last game of the season. Whatever. What season would that be? I have no
1976.
idea.
1976.
Sounds right.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It was 1976.
Well,
was the only
people
year
can
he
fact
for the
check
Brewers.
This. You know how sometimes you fill in your memories and they might be wrong, right?
I know. No, so, I know this for a fact.
Okay.
Consider it checked. Yeah, so
you
were like 15.
Yeah, but you know I was there.
I don't know that.
I'm going to give another fact to allow fact checking.
Okay.
I remember that they lost 7-0. So if people want to go check that, see if I'm right.
7-0.
The last game of the season, they lost 7-0. That should have been Hank Aaron's last game. All right, we better sign off. People are like, is there anybody that's still listening to this?
Remember,
who in their right mind would still have this thing on?
This is boring. Turn it off.
Nobody in their right mind would still have this thing on. All right. You guys should thank Barrett for sticking around in the studio for this long. Depending on how things go, I'll try to maybe I'll get Grant. Who knows? I'll try to put up something the following week. I don't know. We'll see what happens. I think for now we ought to just sign off while Barrett's checking. He's going to fact check my whole deal here.
Yeah, what you guys need to do is listen to the contact information.
They should.
And then I'll come back with the fact check.
Okay, we'll see if he can come up. I think the contact information is like 45 seconds. If you want to stick around, there might be a little bonus content. We're already in the above zero range, but maybe it'll go even up. Maybe it'll go even higher. So we'll talk to you again next week or the week after or sometime with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
You can subscribe to the Will's Band of the Week podcast using iTunes or any other podcast app. All of our podcasts are also available directly on our webpage, willsband.net. You can contact us directly by email to willsband@yahoo.com, on our Facebook page, or on Twitter at Will's Band. The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you every week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.
I don't have it yet. I'm on track. I'm on this trail here. Okay, I'm clicking on something that I think will have it. Will, I see over there, is doing the same thing.
It's just search for...
Definitely
Hank Aaron's last game, and it filled in Hank Aaron's lady because I typed it in wrong.
Let's see. Oh, you know what? He may not have played.
Here's an article.
Entire season.
Here's an article. Remembering Hank Aaron's final game on his 82nd birthday. That was about a year ago, so he's about 83 now. I think he's 83. Let's see. What was his last game?
Looking. We can maybe cut out some of the dead air here.
Yeah.
Do you remember feeling like, wow, this is historic?
I remember just kind of thinking it was kind of cool, but not to that level. This says Hank Aaron played his final Major League Baseball game on Sunday, October 3rd, 1976, at age 42.
Okay, here we go.
It doesn't say whether they lost 7-0, though.
Here we go. Now we'll get it. Oh, they lost 5-2.
Damn.
On that day. You remember who they were playing?
No.
Why would you? Yeah, they were playing the Tigers.
Hmm.
You had the total runs, right? And you had the fact that they lost.
Hmm.
So that's pretty good.
Boy.
Maybe the, I don't know.
Well.
You know, I had a similar thing. Eerily similar, actually. My first game I ever went to, I remember, was, well, this was my faulty memory, 1977, and they were playing against the Kansas City Royals, and they lost 7-0. That's been my memory for years.
7-0 losses in baseball are kind of
rare.
It's demoralizing, right?
Yeah. So I went back. I'm like, hey, it's the 40th anniversary of the first Brewer game I ever went to, like sometime this year. So I went back to search for a 7-0 score against the Royals. Nothing. But I found out they did lose a game 6-0, and it was on a Saturday, which that must have been the game we went to. So it was June 11th. So I missed the anniversary.
You know, isn't it fun to go back and try to like research?
Yeah.
One thing it shows is like your memory is always wrong. But
totally,
I'm pretty sure I saw Kiss at the Brown County Arena in Green Bay on February 3rd, 1977.
That's awesome! Wow. Okay. I remember I saw REM at the Stock Pavilion on May 10th, 1985. I'll never forget that.
I missed it. You know why? It's terrible. Because I had moved to Minnesota.
That's a pretty good reason.
Yeah, it's a good excuse. But I remember thinking, damn, REM at the Stock Pavilion, that's so cool.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah.
Then I saw, the other date I remember is The Replacements at Headliners on April 12th, 1986.
That's pretty good. I was in Minnesota then, too. I was in Minnesota, the home of the Replacements, where I never saw the Replacements.
Yeah, that's a shame.
Yeah, that is kind of. All right.
Well.
Bye, everybody.
Goodbye.